sometimes we want to tippy toe and go, hey, I hate to throw church under the bus here. It doesn't, I don't want to sound like I'm doing that. And I don't think we really are trying to like call out churches and say, you guys suck. I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want to do, but you can't like get like totally upset if people don't like jive with what you're doing.
Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Scott, and this is the Rheology Podcast. And that's Tyler right there in the middle. And that's Chris over to the right. And we are recording this episode live via satellite internet podcast style. We launched a satellite a couple of weeks ago so we could make this possible. And we got it via a really good deal on the internet from some China company. So we'll see how
cool this works. Yeah. Timu satellites.
Yeah.
Yep. So they were knockoffs, China knockoff satellites. Well, they're working so far. So, hey, so far, so good. We are going to, we want to do this episode because we want to talk about a little bit further on the idea of stirring. That's kind of what we're on right now. Honestly, that's kind of what Rheology is really about. We've done a lot of, podcast episodes, content, kind of tippy-toeing around the whole idea of stirring and kind of wondering what's going on, why we do what we do, or possibly even thinking, along the lines of like something's not quite right. We've done a So They Say series where we talked about like, things that people think they know, about God, Jesus, and Christianity, and whether that is, people who are not Christians or people who've been Christians a long time. So we've kind of done all those kinds of things, and we wanted to really kind of get down to the nitty gritty of like really what the mission of Rheology is really about, which is helping people navigate the waters of stirring and relearning God and rediscovering what he's doing on this planet and how he's inviting us to join him in those things. So we want to talk about some things. We just got off of recording a little afterthought session of the interview we did with Brandon Wiseman, who is our producer. And we hinted on a little thing that is a word that's that Brandon actually brought up, where he talked about his growth, his spiritual growth being stunted. And so I wanted to, for the three of us to kind of talk about that for a little bit. And before we do that, I want to read. So there's a book we have mentioned. I've mentioned it in the book. We've talked about it in a podcast a couple different times. The book is called Church Refugees. It's by a guy named Dr. Josh Packard, and where he and one of his main assistants kind of did a research project where they start hearing about a lot of different people who quite simply just quit going to church and they weren't quitting on God. So I want to read from the book. And again, it's called Church Refugees. If you've never heard about it or never read it, I would highly suggest you go and take a look. It's very, very, very educational on understanding like the whole idea of people stirring. And we say that there's a generation that's stirring and seeking answers, and these guys back it up with actual facts. And they did so with their research. So this is Church Refugees. I'll read this real quick. It says, this project, like all good social science, started with the question. Quite simply, we kept hearing stories of people who were disengaging with church, but not with God. We wanted to know why this was happening and what the process of disengagement looked like. Of course, we had lots of hypotheses when we started out. For a while, we thought maybe the answer had something to do with generations. We kept hearing about the rise of the nuns, which is those who claim no religious affiliation, and thought that this might be a part of that story, which is very much a generational phenomenon. We read through our sociology of religion literature, and we're also working with a hypothesis that the rise of the de-church, the people we would come to call the duns, was somehow maybe connected to the dominance of conservative Christian theology. We thought that maybe the de-churched were the more theologically liberal who couldn't find a home in the more conservative church. But we also had a good reason to believe that the poor behavior of pastors, you know, and other church leaders, clergy molesting children, youth pastors embezzling funds, pastors cheating on their spouses, and so on, maybe that was exposing a level of moral corruption that was driving people away. As it turns out, none of these hypotheses was correct. Instead, it became clear to us that the story of the de-churched, the duns, was a story of modern religious organizations and institutions stifling people's ability to engage with each other and their communities. Mm. So it's something not to be taken very lightly. People basically felt kind of like what Brandon said, they stifled or stunted in their growth because once they were part of a church community, you just pretty much kind of kept things going and did the what was expected of you, which, as we said earlier, was, you know, not much, right? It's not much. Low expectations or expectations that maybe were unrealistic as far as, you know, religion goes or church goes. And it gets to the point where you start questioning what's going on here, or the idea, kind of like with Brandon, and there has to be something more. And then, you know, I got my interest has peaked, and I start realizing that there is. So I wanted us to kind of talk about, the three of us kind of talk about that idea of this might be a controversial kind of a deal, but so be it. Is church, is the institution of church, the, you know, it, as we see it on a nonprofit organization, is church stifling? Is it a way that is stunting people's instead of actually helping people grow? Is it actually instead stunting people's growth? I'd like to get your guys' like initial thoughts on those things.
I'll go first.
Yep.
I would say, of course. Of course it is. When the goal of the, we'll use congregation instead of church. When the goal of the congregation is the congregation, then why do you need to grow?
Mm-hmm.
You just need to show up to the things.
Mm-hmm.
Because the congregation, the nonprofit, is setting everything up for you. Like, you don't need to learn how to do anything else other than show up to what the congregation is putting on. You know, it's like going to the farmer's market. I don't need to know how to grow the produce. I just need to go to the farmer's market and buy the produce. Right? But I feel like the way of Jesus is not like a produce stand. Right? That's a weird analogy that it just popped into my head.
I like
it. So, Yeah. Do churches, congregations, do they stifle, do they stunt people's growth in their relationship with God? Of course. When the goal is the church, yes, of course it is. That might be a hot take. I don't know.
No, we're coming back to that. I'm definitely coming back to that. But I want to hear
I don't disagree with anyone. But I think it's right. I think the default, if the church, the way the church is set up, the nonprofit is set up, if you don't actively, because the way it's set up It's for people to just come in and consume and then become part of the system where other mm-hmm. people can come consume, right? Mm-hmm. So unless you actively change that way, it'll just be that. Because I think churches, so I the other day, Megan and I got a flyer for a church, and their messaging was so very similar to our messaging on campus. So it's like, I think it was almost like, is church stifling? Are you not growing? We get it. Come to our church. And we go to the, so I was super curious and I went to the website and I was like, dude, this is the same thing. It's just, it's, they're like, their advertising is just different, but that what I see in their video is the same thing. And, mm-hmm. and I think when Tyler and I, cause our impact on campus used to be a traditional campus ministry. So there's the big gathering, that's the front door. It was church, basically. It was church mm-hmm. on the setting of UNC Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But once we were like, what do we actually value? And one of the values was not attendance. It was legitimately not attendance. Guess what? It looked drastically different. But you can tell that these churches are still set up for attendance by where all their resources go to. And I think no matter what you say, like every church basically looks exactly the same. I mean, is there differences? Of course there's differences, but like what they're actually producing is very, very similar. And unless you are actively trying to deviate or like correct some things, it's going to get the same result. I think that's where I'm at right now. Like, so it's not all churches are stifling, but unless a church is very proactive in avoiding stifling, dude, it's going to do exactly what it's meant to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, if the, you know, it's stifling only in the mindset, if you're looking for one thing and you're not getting it right, then it's stifling. If you're looking for, hey, I just want to go and sit and
listen to the sermon, that's true.
And it's not stifling, you know, it's meeting every need you have. Let's go back and like lay some groundwork for someone who's maybe listening to this and go, wait a minute. The church isn't that. The church is us. Let's kind of cover that, because maybe if you're listening to this and or watching this and thinking, no, wait a minute, man, you guys got it all wrong. The church is us. Let me be very clear. We are not talking about the ecclesia. If mm-hmm. your first, you know, introduction to this podcast is this episode, I would encourage you to go back and like listen to or watch some foundational stuff. There's a big difference between ecclesia and church as the organization, as the institution, as the building, and as the event. So let's just say that we're not talking about, you know, the partnership that God has with people. That's not what we're talking about. So we talk about it, you know, we do this all the time where, you know, I use Chris as an illustration, right? As a owner of a restaurant, you know, and it's gone from being a chicken restaurant now to a fried rice restaurant, which I still think you need to do it, man. I'm there.
Me too. I'm praying.
Or just fix it and say, hey, come up and eat. I'll do that too. anyway, so, you know, the church, we see the church as a nonprofit organization. It is an entity. It does, you know, it has to be registered with the state. It has to be registered with the government. It has a 501c3, you know, it has, you know, employees and bills and property and yada, 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 yada. So, but the one thing that it doesn't have, to Chris's point, is that it doesn't really ever sit before it establishes, it doesn't sit down and go through a business plan where it starts to figure out, what are we trying to do here? All it really does is it just adopts what has been done for centuries and maybe kind of like put different clothes on it. It's basically the same thing. It is exactly what you said, Chris, where it is set up as primarily, its number one focus is a Sunday morning service. That is number one. And what is it set up to do? It's set up for people to come, enter in, congregate, like you said, to be a part of the congregation. Like Tyler said, you know, congregate, come in here. We need a group. We have a gathering. So that's number one importance. Your number one role is to come and gather with all the other people who are come to gather. And then what are we asking you to do? Sit and listen. Now, you can sing. We want you to sing. That's cool. Probably most people don't, but we want you to sing, and we want you to stand and sing while you're doing that. We may ask you to greet someone next to you, and then we want you to listen, and we want you to take it home, and hopefully it has an effect on you. That's cool. That's great. But beyond that, really, everything else beyond that is secondary. And if it happens, they're like, that's the icing on the cake. That was a surprise. We didn't even try to do that. It just happened. We have a community of people here. It's growing. We don't know how. They just did, because we didn't really set that up. So if your jam is anything but that congregation or that gathering, you're going to end up feeling like your growth is stunted and you are stifled because you want more. And you're just not quite getting it, because that's not the church's goal primarily. Now, to Chris's point, not every church, we're not talking about every church, but the vast, vast, vast majority of the churches, I mean, we're talking 99.9% probably, are all very much similar in that mentality. So the way that the church is established as a nonprofit organization, inevitably, there are going to be people who are going to be, as what I just read, kind of done. If that's the mentality or the method, they're just kind of done with the method. Yeah, I think about, like, because we sometimes we want to tippy toe and go, hey, I hate to throw church under the bus here. And it doesn't, I don't want to sound like I'm doing that. And I don't think we really are trying to, like, call out churches and say, you guys suck. I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want to do, but you can't, like, get, like, totally upset if people don't, like, jive with what you're doing. Right. I like the idea, Chris, what you said about consumerism, because I really believe that's a big, big piece of this. Churches pretty much say they gripe because they say, like, oh, we're in a consumer mentality and a consumer culture. People just come and consume and they leave. And I always think to myself, what more are you asking of them?
What else are you offering?
You're offering.
I think we all, let me butt in.
Yeah.
I think we can also say that, like, every church wants to be able to help people grow their relationship with God. Right. Every church wants to do that. That's part of their mission statement. That's what they say on Sunday mornings. And whenever they get together, that's the whole point. We just want to help people grow in their relationship with God. I believe that. But what does it actually mean, though? You know, because I think most people's definitions of growing in my relationship with God is about doing and doing a certain thing on a certain day, or making sure my life looks like this, or following a standard, following morals. But is that what actually it means for my relationship with God to grow? And if it's those things that I just listed, all those things can be accomplished within, like, the structure of congregational church. Like, all I need to do is come and hear something, mm-hmm. and then write a couple notes, take it home, study it, and, like, okay, and I'm going to be happy with that. But if growing my relationship with God is what the ecclesia is about, which is, like, understanding my identity with God is, and it's in partnership with Him, this perfect partnership. And now I'm His ambassador to the world, to my world and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Then what does it mean to actually grow that? I don't think we can have the two things coexist side by side. Like, something has to change. And so when churches say, we want to help you grow your relationship with God, yes, I believe that. But I don't think that's what it's actually accomplishing. I think it's still just, like, it's feeding, like we're saying, consumerism. Like, it's a feeding trough. Yeah. Like, if this makes you happy for this week, then let's do that, and we can call it growing your relationship with the God. And if you do anything outside of this, that's perfect. We're going to equip you to do your own thing outside of, like, the Sunday morning or the Wednesday night or whatever it is. But is that actually growing people's relationships with God?
I think so. We met this new student on campus, and they are like a brand new Christian, and hung out with them the other day, and like they're not a typical Christian, right? So I showed them a tool, kind of explained the gospel a little bit. But for one of the first times ever, this person had like no guilt or shame from God, which was like a good thing. But it's also because they didn't know enough about how like what sin is or our relationship with God. I was like, oh my gosh, this person knows nothing. And I think someone like that could benefit from a church, because churches, if you just stay at a church for long enough, you'll get so much information. Like for us, like I had too much information. I didn't know how to like organize those thoughts or how to like where to put, like how to value these thoughts. So like some churches do a good job on giving you information. But then on the other hand, the other day or yesterday, I had some students over at our house, and they were mostly Christians. And the stuff they were saying was so like wrong, but they didn't know any better. Because they just heard this like sermon, and they internalized it the way they did it, but they were never like walked alongside and say, oh, that's information, but I think you need to like switch up how you hear this information. Because I think on the other hand, all they know is receiving information, and then they internalize it the way they do, or honestly, but through like the framework or lens of the world, they internalize this stuff instead of like knowing how the operating system of the Spirit and God and the new covenant. But that stuff isn't fully explained to them. So with this information that they're receiving from church, they're just like up to their own like interpretation basically of it.
Yeah.
So, so that's what happens also if you stay too long into a church with just information and gathering, and it just like, it's up to you to interpret how this stuff works.
Yes, totally. I think too, since every church is, I always think it's just absurd that every church is modeled the same. Every church, because I do think that you probably could go to a church service and learn, but there's a lot of pressure then on the preacher to be able to be a good teacher. Mm-hmm. Well, crap, just to be a good public speaker, right? Because it requires a 30-minute sermon. We're gonna say it's a 30-minute sermon. I know I've been to several where it's 45 and 50, but we'll say 30-minute sermon. You better really communicate real effectively in that 30 minutes. And so therefore there's a lot of pressure. I always stop and think about that. And just, I think about how crazy it seems and feels that every one of these nonprofit organizations we call churches, they all have the exact same strategy and plan, even though they didn't really customize the plan or think about the plan. They just adopted it. To me, this is the scary part of what we're kind of talking about, is that because we just talked about Brandon's episode, his interview, where we're really just supposed to like trust the people that know better than we do, that they know what they're talking about, and they're just passing down a tradition almost like the Jews, but really the tradition is really not formed or founded in, you know, actual true history with following God, like the stories of Abraham and Moses, and you know what I'm saying? It's actually just it's the history of this entity, you know, which, as we said before, really doesn't actually completely come from Jesus. So we're just passing this stuff down, and it's a little scary, because if you start looking at church like what it actually is, a nonprofit entity, but yet they don't ever take any time to stop and think about like our strategy or at the very, very least, what are we really trying to accomplish here? What are we trying to accomplish? And if they are trying to accomplish, back to like what you were saying, Tyler, I believe that if, I do agree with you, I think every church is really does want people to grow spiritually. But what they want is for that growth to either, number one, be initiated through the church or to be fulfilled in the church. And the problem is, since the churches are all established the way they are, they really are not established or equipped to do any of that. They're really only established and equipped and, you know, to gather, like you said, to gather people and have a service. And beyond that, they're really not qualified to really, you know, help someone to grow beyond that. And definitely they're not very qualified to equip people, to give people the right tools to go out and be a disciple and go and make disciples and go on with God, whatever that looks like, because they are, because of just their model, just their strategy, their plan is primarily historically, the church's plan is primarily to establish a gathering, an event that gathers people to it so that they can do a couple of things. And so I definitely agree with that wholeheartedly. I think their heart is in the right place, but their head is not in the right place.
They haven't been told that that's an option. Right.
Right.
I'm just thinking, I'm thinking about my own story and me growing up in youth group in a Southern Baptist church. Was I growing in my relationship with God? Yes, but that was just because I was alive and I was hearing these sermons and stories. Right. That was just like an afterthought, honestly. But if I had had somebody in my life to set up a space where I could like really ask questions, hard questions, and have real conversations, like, to me, I would have been like, my trajectory very, very different. But we're not taught or told that that's an option. We're not taught that we can actually provide those kinds of spaces for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Most pastors, not most, gosh, I'm just going to say again, 99.9%. And they truly believe, because they were taught this, they were modeled this, and this has been a reoccurring theology that is not true, you can't question church because we have been taught that church is ecclesia.
Yeah. It's Jesus, the bride of Christ.
It's the bride of Christ. Jesus died for it. He built it.
Yep.
So therefore it just is what it is. And it's hey,
bro, you know, I can't, and I'm now on my like Instagram, right? I see these clips of these mega churches with the lights and the like production. And I'm just like laughing. Like, this is it? We really believe this is what Paul was trying to like get through like Europe and Rome? And like, this is what Jesus, this is perfectly obeying Jesus, turns into this? There's no way that this system, let's just think about like the way that Jesus lived his life and this is the result. There's no way. It's amazing. It's shocking that people think, but the people are like, oh, these, I really feel the spirit. And when like 1,000 people, but so many people like Taylor Swift, bro, that's not a exclusive thing to Christianity. That's not the spirit, bro. That's just like a collective effervescence. That's just things that we all feel. That's watching football. Thank God football is back on. But right, you look at the Chiefs stadium. There's like hundreds of thousands of people. Are these like college games? They are feeling the spirit of their team.
Right.
Yeah. So like, I just don't like the one people are like, yeah, but look at it. Look at the fruit. Like, look at what it's producing. You can't get that anywhere else. But that's not it. Yeah. I'm sorry. But then we're taught that we can't question like that. That is exactly, this is what Jesus died for. Right. For you to have this institution, to have this like building to do this in. Bro, what are we talking about?
Yeah. I think I'd shared with you guys, I've shared this on an episode years ago, you know, and I read the book, Jim and Casper go to church. I've told you guys about, you know, this. And Casper is Jim is a Christian guy, but he's
research.
Nice. And he's met this guy through a friend of his, and Casper is an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. But he agrees to go with Jim on a 10 church, project where they're going to go and check out 10 churches. And he's curious to see what this atheist thinks about all of them. And, you know, all of them but one, you know, are all in the same category. One of them is very, very, very different, but they're all considered mega churches, but one of them is really, really different. But all the rest of them are all exactly the same. And Casper's final thought was, is this what Jesus told you to go and do? And honestly, that is the fruit of it. You know, it is absolutely the fruit. And I think, do I think that church has a place in all this? I think it probably does. But the way that it is right now, you know, if you are a pastor or a leader or whatever, you can just kind of step back and just really take a good look at what you're doing and how you're set up and what your goals are and what your strategy is, your plan is. If you can actually do that, I think you'll look and go, well, if this is our plan, you know, these should be our expectations. Mm-hmm. And not have a completely crazy, unrealistic expectations that people are going to treat this like a Chiefs football game, or that they're not going to miss any Sundays ever, you know, or that they're going to go out and tell the whole world, or that they're just going to explode in their growth because they heard, you know, barely qualified public speaker, you know, talk about, you know, something for 30 minutes. To me, I just look at the nature of it as this, is that they're claiming to do a lot of things, but they're really only set up to do a couple, and mm-hmm. they are disconnected. You talk mm-hmm. about cognitive dissonance. They are seriously, seriously disconnected with the reality of, number one, what they are, a nonprofit organization, because they think they're the ecclesia. And number two, they're disconnected because they never really stop and go, I think this is what we should be doing, instead of, well, this is just church. I have a friend of mine, I won't mention my friend's name. I have a friend of mine that really, when I started like doing all my investigation stuff, I had a friend of mine that really honestly, seriously thought that when Paul would write letters to these churches in wherever, right? Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, whatever, that they were actually cathedrals, like buildings, like what we have. And that, you know, really did think that's why. And that's why for maybe someone like him or other people, they don't have too much of a weird thought when they look at Acts, because they just go, because the word church is there, right, in the Bible. And they just think, oh, well, they had churches just like we did. They were just a little different because it's a different culture, right? Mm-hmm. It's different culture. Mm-hmm. And, time has gone by, and not realizing that Jesus doesn't change and God doesn't change. And so, therefore, there is a serious cognitive dissonance going on, because the reality is one thing and their thought process is something very, very different. It's literally like Chris going out and creating a fried rice restaurant, and that's all he serves, and he's hoping to get everybody on the planet to come to this restaurant, even though there's statistics, research has shown that really only 30% of the demographics of the people in that area actually like rice, period. It's literally like you thinking, we're going to get everybody to come to this restaurant, and they're going to love it, and they're going to eat rice, and they're going to bring all the friends to eat rice, and they're going to be completely filled and fulfilled in their life by just eating rice. And it's just, unfortunately, not true or realistic.
What if I start advertising the rice as like paleo or gluten-free, or had a really muscular dude eating it to show that like this rice will actually produce the person you always wanted to be.
Huh? People might, they might buy into it, and then they'll get to the point like, no, it's just rice. It's just rice, you know, and it's okay. It's not bad.
Yes, rice is fried bad. Rice is delicious. But,
you know, every once in a while, I'd like some meat, you know, or, you know, something different. And I definitely think that's kind of what's going on with the church, is that, and why stirring is what it is, and why people do feel stunted or stifled. And it's just simply because they hear, like what you're saying, they hear, hey, come here and we'll give you this. And they do come, and they don't get that. They never get it. They get this. And this is not like bad necessarily, but it's not everything that you advertised.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's probably why stifling and stunting is so, you know, glaringly present.
Yeah, because churches tell us to trust God, but my whole perception of God is through church.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how to trust God. I know how to trust church to provide the things that I feel like I'm supposed to get from them.
Totally.
But if I were to envision myself not going to church, but trusting God, that, like, I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what that looks like. We've been introduced to Christianity through the structure of congregational church.
Yep.
Instead of giving us space to actually discover who God actually is.
Yep.
And to really know him. Like, the whole thing is completely upside down. The whole thing's messed up.
It is.
Like, it's not real. Like, we're producing Christians. This is the most heartbreaking thing. The most heartbreaking thing is Christians thinking that they can lose their relationship with them.
Hmm.
Christians. And Chris and I have conversations on campus all the time with students that legitimately believe that they have to do things so that they don't go to hell.
Yeah.
Like, explicitly. We have Christians saying this. Christians thinking that, like, okay, I have to do these certain things so that God loves me and so that I get into heaven. And so he's not mad at me. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about? What are we doing? Like, I've talked to pastors' kids. Like, I was this person.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the fringe weird Christians that come every once in a while. These are the Christians that show up every Sunday morning. Yeah. The Holy good Steve. Christians.
Yeah.
That are doing the thing, that come away with, okay, this is what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Like, that's the result. And on the outside, they're growing, they're reading the Bible, the churches are growing, they're serving the community, all amazing things. But that's the target. And so you're going to have people not understanding why they're a Christian in the first place. And they're making up these standards in their head that they have to keep.
Yeah.
Because they're imagining this angry God at them.
Yeah.
And that church is like the church is actually replacing Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, church is the mediator of my relationship with God, instead of Jesus being the mediator, like he actually said he is.
Right. Yeah. There's no, I mean, you know, it becomes very clear when you start looking at like the model of church, and you start, you know, thinking and seeing that it looks a lot like the temple. You know, really, people come and gathered at the temple for a specific event. They really weren't asked to do much except for to bring a sacrifice, and all the officials took care of it. And God was like mysteriously behind a curtain, like Brandon, you know, and so we got it. Just bring, okay, stop right there. Bring your sacrifice up, but stop right there at the yellow line, right there. Okay. Toes on the yellow line. Cool. Hand me the sacrifice. I got it from here. You're done. Yeah. You know, go and wash your hands and, you know, the laver or something, and we'll take it from here. And that is exactly what in church really looks a lot like that. It's set up like that, where you come and you give something and they'll take care of the rest. And so therefore, it is set up to really kind of more promote less of a relationship with a real God, and that, because the temple is in us, and more of the idea of that God actually lives here, even though, and you know, this is part of the cognitive dissonance part. And the crazy, a part of the, a little bit of the crazy is, you know, when we do use the word church in four different ways, you start to get to the point where like, does anybody know what the heck you're talking about? My gosh, because the reality is if, I know for a fact that there are pastors and leaders and stuff like that who definitely would say, no, you are the temple. We agree with that. Mm-hmm. You are the temple. The problem is the church is set up to like be opposite of that almost, right? Because if you're not here, then you're missing out. It's as we've said, we say all the time, it's not official. Right. It is definitely not official. And so it's almost like talking out of both sides of your mouth, really, without really truly getting that you're actually doing that. And that's the whole cognitive dissonance thing that I think is like super, super important and very key to understanding all this, because I just feel like we have the leaders we have right now are just a product of the generations before. That's all they really are. Because chances are they've never gone through a stirring situation, and therefore they don't really know, because they're just kind of repeating the same stuff they heard that they had that those guys heard from the generation before and generation mm-hmm. before and generation before. And all it is at this point is just a bunch of stuff that quite honestly in the end of the day doesn't quite add up. And mm-hmm. I think they can. I think that the church can be a resource for the ecclesia, but I'm not sure how effective it can be, because it's like if they do one thing, but they think they do a bunch of things, and you go there for that one thing, they're still going to try to do all the other things. So I'm not quite sure. Like I've said before with you guys, I mean, if I could find a church in our area that really focused on worshiping God and creating a culture where people really were gathering to just worship, I'd go. But the church doesn't do that. They do that for three songs and then they're on to the sermon. And really, when you come to find out that the three songs are really just to help you get ready for the sermon, they really weren't ready for you to fall.
If
you're looking for
appetizer.
A good sermon and that's all you really want, you might get it.
Why are people showing up to churches in the first place? Because if the sermon is the most important part, well, then why can't I just like get the best podcast of a sermon? Right?
Yeah, like, it's not official.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Dude, YouTube and watch people ride the Haunted Mansion at Disney, but it's not the same as going.
Yes, because we're told you, if you really want to experience the full Christian life, then you have to have people with you.
Yeah.
And where do you find other Christians?
Yeah.
Here.
In one spot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've got it. This is it. We're here for you.
Yeah.
This but like once you go to the place, then what's the most important part? Well, you really can't be part of our community unless you come on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And even if you come on Sunday morning, I know you want to talk to all your friends, but come into big church, come into the sanctuary, mm-hmm. you know, and really get involved. And if you really want to start like experiencing God, then boy, do we have some jobs for you on Sunday morning. And this is it, right? This is how it's always been done.
I remember, so our buddy Darren, who listens to this podcast religiously, Darren, I remember when we were at, you know, I met Darren through a church plant that I was with 12 years ago or 13, whatever it was, called Cross Point. That doesn't really give anything away since there are about 5 million cross points. Anyway, one of the things that he just wanted to do so bad is like, I just would like to like be able to have the freedom to stay out into the little cafe area where the food and stuff and everything, you know, where you come in and you congregate there first and then you get ushered in. He said, it would be cool if we could just have the option where we could just stay out there. He said, because there's a lot of times where I'll meet somebody out there and we're talking that we got to stop. Why?
Oh, because exactly.
Nobody's going here.
Yeah,
and so I actually brought that up to the pastor at the time, And he was like, no, they need to be in there. They need to be in there. It's almost like a cop out. I saw it as like a cop out where someone, like, you know, instead of like blaming himself or looking and saying, hey, you know what? We're trying to get people to be relational. What a better place to do it? Cool. Yeah. It was,
they just defined church for you at that moment.
Absolutely. Right?
Yep.
It wasn't about the people. It was about the service they're providing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so that's, unfortunately, that is the reality for a lot of churches and a lot of, you know, not to throw these guys under the bus, but pastors. And here's the deal, dude. If like, guys, if we were like consultants, right? And we were church consultants or—
No, we're the worst ones.
Huh?
We're the worst consultants.
Well, no one would hire us because we tell them the truth and they don't want to listen to the truth. But here's the deal. In the business world, and Brandon can speak to this as well, you know, businesses go and hire consultants because, number one, they want an outsider's opinion to come in and tell them what really is going on, because it's super easy to get involved in your thing, right? You're so involved in your thing that you may not see the problems and you may not see the areas that need some help or whatever. Specifically, if you have gone through a business plan and you said, this is what is important, this is what we're going to do, this is our mission. A lot of companies and stuff, they willingly bring in consultants to like be able to give them a grade. How are we doing? This is what we said we're going to do. How are we doing that? Churches, I feel like all I'm trying to do here is I don't want this to feel like that we hate churches or that we're scorned or whatever. I'm just reading research here. That's all I'm doing. I'm reading the truth of what people feel, and it doesn't have anything to do with some of the other things that could possibly be, you know, used as an excuse of why people don't want to go to church, be a part of church, or done with the model and idea that church is the gateway for all this. So if they would allow someone to really come in, I mean, they would probably hear the same things that we're saying, that the research is saying, and that other people's stirring stories are saying. It may be hard to hear, and I get that, but I'm thinking if you really truly do want to be used by God, and you really truly do want to like make an impact on people's lives, you would at the very least be willing to hear the hard truth of the matter. And, and, you know, at least be able to see how you're doing, you know, what you say you're going to be doing, what you say you want to do. How are you doing with that? But we're not consultants. Even if we did start say, hey, we are consultants, we'll come and help you, I'm not sure anybody's going to hire us. I don't think they really
care. They would kick us out the minute we stepped in. In the church.
Probably.
I do want to say, I feel like we're wrapping up, but I do want to say, for people that are listening to this and do feel like they're stirring and do feel like they're being stunted in their growth, the things that we have been talking about, I think it kind of feels wrong once you start admitting some of these things. And that's like a very normal feeling, to feel like you are like actively hurting people, or, you know, like I'm such a big people pleaser. It's still hard for me to say these things out loud. Like, I'm okay with feeling them, but once they come out of my mouth, I feel like I'm like hating somebody. Yeah. You're not actually hating somebody. You're just seeing for things for how they actually are. And it's uncomfortable. It's just an uncomfortable conversation. I think it'll always be, because this is the world that we live in. But it's okay to feel the things, and it's okay to say the things out loud. And hopefully you have people in your life that you can say these things to without feeling like you're being judged or feeling like you're saying the wrong thing. Because ultimately, like, we do need people in our life to walk with us as we figure out what it means to walk with God. But you don't have to find those people in traditional spaces anymore. Like, there are people like Chris and Tyler and Scott, not the most important people in the room. We're not the only ones that have these conversations. Just encouraging people, it's okay to say these things out loud. And God has people for you that are safe places, and that you'll learn how to trust those people. but it's not an easy road, and it's not an instant gratification kind of thing either, like we've been used to, like going to church. So yeah, I'll say that.
Here. On that note, we'll end this episode, and we're here to say, listen, we don't have all the answers, but we are totally willing to be those people that will listen. Trust me, we will. So I concur with what Tyler just said 1,000,000%, and you're not alone. And we'd love to walk with you during your time of stirring. So reach out, let us know if you'd like for us to listen, and we'd love to do that. Till next time, we'll see you guys. Bye.
From the whole Rheology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Rheology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, rheologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram @rheology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.